The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Democrats see their economic dreams fading.
The President, Joe Biden, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, the Majority Leader, Charles Schumer, have all based the future of the Democratic agenda, the entire Democratic agenda, on a trick. And now they're worried that the trick might not work.
Governors unite on the immigration front.
We want to go to Washington, D.C., and bring back the policies of the previous administration that were actually working at the border.
Republicans prepare for an economic battle.
We have to stay strong, stand our ground. We can't be bullied by the legacy media. We certainly can't be bullied by the far left.
And the party in control faces a civil war.
They are in total disarray, and they're in daggers drawn, attacking each other in the most vicious and personal terms.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. Great to be with you. Catch my program each weekday morning live, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time and on demand 24/7. Learn more at HughHewitt.com. And follow me on Twitter, at Hugh Hewitt. Follow this program, please, as well at Town Hall Review. The Democrats celebrated mightily earlier this year when they secured the last two Senate seats and suddenly had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. While the legislative majorities were indeed razor thin, the progressives nevertheless declared a mandate and began pushing an aggressive leftward agenda that included a massive increase in government spending, huge tax hikes. But their success was dependent upon keeping nearly every Democrat in the House on board while securing every single one of the 50 Democratic senators in the upper chamber as well. Turns out this has been a much more difficult task than the squad had imagined. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin was merely the first and most high-profile Democrat to turn on the tax and spend effort, and even penned an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal criticizing the House's spending plans. While the media is slow to make it known, the moderates in the Democratic Party are at war with the progressives. I discussed the ramifications with the Washington Examiner's editor, Byron York. Mitch McConnell has said to Thanos, Chuck Schumer, "You might want a showdown. We're not having a showdown." There is no showdown, Byron. Am I correct?
Correct. On the basic issue of raising the debt ceiling, historically, that's been something the majority party has to do. As the debt cliff approaches, there's a lot of whining and talking, and in the end, that's what the majority party has to do. And I believe, you could raise the debt ceiling in a one-page bill. Democrats have what they call a majority, 50 votes in the Senate, plus the vice president, and they can pass it. And so that's something like that is going to happen unless they make some sort of deal that McConnell finds attractive.
Well, the brilliant thing about that is a debt ceiling bill requires 60 votes. Unless you attach it to reconciliation, in which case it only requires 50. They have reconciliation coming to conference. They can agree to do that, and they can get it done in 2 weeks. There need not be any crisis. Mitch is making them do their reconciliation bargaining among themselves now by refusing to go the wimpy route. And, for a hamburger today, I will gladly buy you two Tuesday. He's just saying, no, you bought it. You broke it. You bought it. It's yours. And the media is outraged because they want to postpone the showdown between Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC in the hopes that something works out. And Chuck wants to postpone it as long as possible because he doesn't want her to run against him in the Democratic primary. Mitch McConnell's under no obligation to help them out of a political jam.
Here's the thing. We're seeing all of these stories about Democrats are beginning to panic about their entire agenda. The fundamental problem here is that the President, Joe Biden, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, the Majority Leader, Charles Schumer, have all based the future of the Democratic agenda, the entire Democratic agenda on a trick. And now they're worried that the trick might not work. They have ambitions to pass huge New Deal, Great Society style legislation, but they don't have the votes to do it. In the 1930s and the 1960s, Democrats had around 300 votes in the House and somewhere between usually 65 and 75 seats in the Senate. Really, really big majorities. They could afford to lose some of their own members and still pass their legislation. That's completely different from the situation today, where Nancy Pelosi has a four-seat, virtually zero majority in the House, and there actually isn't a majority in the Senate tied 50-50, so you have to use the vice president break the tie trick. You cannot pass sprawling, life-changing legislation in a 50-50 Senate. And so what they did was they've settled on the reconciliation idea, and they decided we'll pour our entire agenda, the whole thing, into a reconciliation bill, effectively getting around the filibuster for our entire agenda. We don't have the votes to get rid of the filibuster either, but we can effectively do that by pouring everything into this giant reconciliation bill. Well, hey, let's throw comprehensive immigration reform in there. That, we'll do that too. So they staked their entire agenda on a trick that cannot work.
To hear the rest of that conversation, go to townhallreview.com. Biden's troubles neither start nor end in Washington, D.C. Of course, there is the Afghanistan catastrophe, which continues to roll on. But about 17 miles southeast of D.C., thousands of Haitians have crossed the Texas-Mexico border and have massed underneath a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. The Haitians have become because they believe Biden gave them reason to do so. They think Biden invited them. I spoke this week with Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who has dealt with similar issues on the Arizona-Mexico border as immigrants pour into the country on a promise that Joe Biden cannot keep.
Well, Hugh, this is beyond a border crisis. And of course, people know Arizona and Texas are border states, but 26 governors from across the country have signed on to this because it's really beyond just a border crisis. It's a catastrophe, and it's things like including a national security crisis because we don't know who's coming across our southern border. It's a public safety crisis because all of our states are experiencing a rise in crime and drugs. It's a humanitarian crisis. You can see that just from the pictures. And then, of course, we're told we have this public health crisis, yet when inconvenient at the border, the Biden administration averts its gaze from what's actually happening there, and there's not testing or vaccination. So governors together, all Republicans, have stepped up and said to President Biden that you need to act on this. It's the responsibility of the federal government, and we've requested a meeting with him within the next 2 weeks. We want to go to Washington, D.C., and bring back the policies of the previous administration that were actually working at the border.
Now, Governor Ducey, for the benefit of people, new affiliates that may not know you, you are like the most responsible guy ever when it comes to confronting a problem. After the school shootings, you convened experts, you brought in every stakeholder, you had a serious policy, got adopted, became a model. What are you doing in Arizona that might model for the rest of the country? You're not a shoot from the hip guy. You're a businessman. You've run a great state. You have huge approval. What do you do with this many people? Because I read in the press release, it's up 500% over last year.
It's up 500%, and it's not so much the statistics, and we could just give people all kinds of data that would shock them. For Jen Psaki to say that we had a slight decrease when we're at a 20-year high of what's happening here at the border, and we know how long this has been an issue, is just misinformation. And, you know, you hear the Mexican president calling Joe Biden the migrant president. You hear the Guatemalan president saying that Joe Biden's messaging is confusing, and you wonder why the Haitian people have come here. It's because they think they're welcome, because of what's coming out of the White House is that they are anti-wall and they're absent without leave on what's happening at the border. So what I have done, and Governor Abbott has done this as well, is we've deployed our own National Guard,
Other Republican presidents have sent us additional law enforcement. But when you don't have California or New Mexico participating with you, when you don't have the faith and help of the federal government, when you've got ICE and CBP and border agents so discouraged and underfunded, that's what you see. I mean, these pictures just spell Bidenville of people living under an underpass between Mexico and the United States, and it needs the action and responsibility of the federal government to address it, and we need it with urgency.
Now, you referenced Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, talking about whether or not things are under control at the border.
Where's the vice president on any of this? Isn't she supposed to be addressing the root causes of migration?
Absolutely. And she has been addressing the root causes of migration by working with countries in the region to ensure they have the assistance they need to reduce the number of people who are coming and trying to make those journeys across the border. We've actually seen some reductions in some of those numbers. That doesn't change the fact that this is a very challenging situation in Del Rio. We're working to implement our policies and we're working to ensure we are also addressing root causes.
First question, Governor, has the vice president called you recently about the Arizona border?
I have not talked to the vice president. I've asked her to come to the Arizona border along with the Secretary of Homeland Security. And if the vice president is looking for the root causes of what's happening, she needs to look no further than the Oval Office. This is a change in policies from the Trump-Pence administration, things like Title 42, Remain in Mexico, the Migrant Protection Program, and then, of course, the physical barrier, the actual wall that said to people, we are not welcoming illegal migration to this country. We have an immigration system. We encourage you to follow it legally. But if you remember, Hugh, during the debates, and I know you do remember, when all the Democrats were asked, would they give people illegally crossing the border free health care? Every one of them, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, raised their hand, yes, free health care. We actually had Martha Raddatz come to the border. Kamala Harris didn't, but ABC News did. And she asked migrants that had crossed illegally, did they come because Joe Biden was president? They answered that yes, they felt that they were welcomed here. And then she asked, would you have come if Donald Trump was president? And they said, not a chance.
So, Governor Ducey, they have been in office, the president and the vice president, for 8 months. How often has Vice President Harris, with authority delegated to her by the president to control the border, how many times has she called you?
She's not called me once.
What?
She was the worst possible choice to be the border czar. She's shown no level of seriousness on this issue throughout her entire career. And once she got the assignment, she tried to change the definition of what success would be. She dillied and dallied until she went to other countries to visit, and she still has not come to Arizona's border.
Coming up, Republicans face Democrats demanding that they get on board with their left-wing agenda.
We have to stay strong, stand our ground. We can't be bullied by the legacy media. We certainly can't be bullied by the far left.
The Town Hall Review returns in a moment.
As we consider a post-COVID world, the call goes forth to a new generation of leaders in politics and policy. I'm Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine's Graduate School of Public Policy. And for over two decades, we've prepared students to apply America's founding principles to today's policy debates. Are you considering graduate school? Find out more at pepperdine.edu/SPP. That's pepperdine.edu/SPP.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. We looked earlier at the civil war among Democrats as leftist progressives seek power and control while moderate liberals work to maintain a viable party for the average voter. At the heart of their battle, a massive increase in spending, much of that on social services. Congressman Mike Gallagher joined me on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
We've been in session for 3 days of the last 7 weeks. And so now Speaker Pelosi is coming to us saying we need to pass a last-second continuing resolution, and then add on to that a debt ceiling increase. It's not even a debt ceiling increase, really. It's just it absolves the debt ceiling until December of next year. The whole thing is insane, and no Republican, no Republican should participate in the Democrats' nonsense right now. They have the votes, theoretically, to pass this on their own. They're just trying to use us to get some political cover because they're going to try and ram through Bernie Sanders' socialist spending spree.
They think the Republicans are like lab mice, and having rolled you and abused you on the budget bill, they now think you're going to help raise the debt limit so that they can roll you again. It is incredible. And here's the worst part. The media are reporting it as though you're the bad guys.
The legacy media is thoroughly corrupt. But if you think about it, if you dig into it, really what they think is they can fool the American people. They think the American people are stupid enough to believe this stuff. And they can at the same time, they are the ones passing through trying to pass a historic level of spending. They are not operating in a bipartisan way. The president is bragging about passing the most progressive legislation since the New Deal. And now they're trying to blame us for the budget situation we're in. It's insane. The media being compliant with it is also insane, though unexpected. And again, just no Republican should fall for this.
Will then the Democrats be able to figure out what to pass? Will they have to go to the Manchin version, the least common denominator of the Democrats, on taxes and spending and pass that with a debt hike?
Well, it's clear that the Senate is going to reject the continuing resolution that we passed with no Republican participation. Thankfully, there just aren't the votes in the Senate for it. And I think even some Democrat leaders have said it's dead on arrival. So I do think that will force them to come up with an alternative approach. But that will really continue to put Pelosi in a difficult position because she has a moderate faction that in the past she's crushed and forced to comply with her more progressive impulses, pitted against the squad wing of the party, which I think is driving their agenda right now. And right now, it's hard for me to see how she sequences this in a way that keeps all of her members on board. You know, we were set to vote on the rule for the continuing resolution in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, the House floor went radio silent, and we learned that they had pulled the bill because when the progressives saw the text of the continuing resolution, they saw $1 billion for Iron Dome funding for Israel, which is a joint venture, by the way, between the United States and Israel. It's a defensive piece of machinery that benefits us as well as our closest ally in the Middle East. But the progressives hate Israel, and so the Hamas caucus tanked it. They took the bill back. They had to take the $1 billion for Iron Dome out of the bill, and then we voted on it later that night.
I'm amazed that enough Democrats went along to take. I guess they can only lose four. So if the squad refuses to vote for something, they get it out.
That's the squad is holding everybody hostage.
The important thing for Republicans to understand, this is a messaging battle. All they have to do is message that they broke it. They bought it. It's their bill. They jammed the budget down. They can pass a debt limit. They can pass a tax and spend measure. All they have to do is agree among themselves. They don't need one Republican. Will they stick to messaging? It's up to the message is very simple. Democrats broke it. They bought it. They have to fix it. Can the Republicans stay on message?
I hope so. It's going to require a lot of discipline. But the fact is, as I said before, the squad is driving the train and everything is being sacrificed to the altar of the Bernie Sanders socialist spending spree. I mean, I think Pelosi, I mean, this is her last hurrah. And she wants to go out with a bang and she wants to cement her legacy. And so she's going to try and jam through as much as possible. And I think there's a lot of Democrats right now who are quite frankly afraid of all of the energy coming from the far left. This is no time for us to be complicit in their games. We need to stand up for the American people.
So I want to emphasize something. Nancy Pelosi will shut down the government next week. The government will run out of money. She will blame the Republicans. Chuck Schumer will blame the Republicans. In fact, the Republicans need to say the Democrats have the vote to pass a budget, fund the government, raise the debt limit. They just have to agree on what to do. We are not responsible for the government being shut. And the media is going to say the Republicans have shuttered the government. Will the Republicans endure the heat from the media that you shuttered the government?
We have to. I mean, we can't be intimidated by the media. This is an easy one. We have to stay strong, stand our ground. We can't be bullied by the legacy media. We certainly can't be bullied by the far left. The Democrats are playing a cynical game that depends on their ability to fool the American people. And I have faith in the common sense of the American people. And I think they can see through. I think they can see through the entire game.
On the Senate side, I turned to Arkansas's Tom Cotton about the effort to push through a massive spending increase. Senator Cotton, is the GOP under any pressure whatsoever? I've listened to Leader McConnell. It leads me to believe that there actually is no confrontation, no showdown, no pressure.
I feel zero pressure from the Democrats. Senator McConnell, from his public statement, obviously feels no pressure. If the Democrats want to pass $6 trillion of new spending this year on a party-line basis, then they can pass the debt ceiling increase that will accommodate that $6 trillion on a party-line basis as well.
You know, I believe that the correct headline would be Democrats in House, Democrats in Senate in disarray, cannot agree on how much to raise taxes and to spend and debt ceiling. Isn't that the correct headline as opposed to putting pressure on GOP? They're just in disarray.
They are in total disarray, and they're at daggers drawn, attacking each other in the most vicious and personal terms. Maybe they should therefore think about going back to the drawing board and not trying to remake American society with the razor-thin margins the American people gave them last fall, and on which Joe Biden did not campaign.
Now, given the fact that reconciliation allows them, they can do whatever they want, up to $3.5 trillion of spending. They can raise as many taxes as they want. They can lower as many taxes as they want. And they can raise the debt limit. They can also do the CR. They can do whatever they want to do on tax and spending and debt limit and continuing resolution. All they have to do is agree. They don't need any Republican votes. Am I correct if they agree?
Hugh, that is almost correct, with the exception of the so-called continuing resolution, which keeps the government open at the end of the month. Now, I can tell you the Republican votes would be there as long as they don't try to connect it to the debt ceiling increase to pay for their record spending spree this year. But if they want to pass a stopgap spending bill that keeps the government open until December, there will be plenty of Republican votes for that. Everything else, Hugh, can be done on reconciliation, and that is Senator McConnell's point. He said time and again that the United States must never default on our debts.
Coming up, the media attacks Border Patrol agents on horseback.
Here's why they hate this more than anything else. You want to know why they hate this? The left has always hated cowboys. Oh.
The Town Hall Review returns in a moment.
As we consider a post-COVID world, the call goes forth to a new generation of leaders in politics and policy. I'm Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine's Graduate School of Public Policy. And for over two decades, we've prepared students to apply America's founding principles to today's policy debates. Are you considering graduate school? Find out more at pepperdine.edu/SPP. That's pepperdine.edu/SPP.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with our sponsor, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. As Haitians were streaming across the Rio Grande, Border Patrol agents used horses to reach where off-road vehicles could not. News reports claim the agents were using whips on the migrants crossing the river. But those familiar with horses recognized they were merely using their reins to control the horses. Salem Host Charlie Kirk addressed the media coverage.
These Haitians are running across the southern border illegally. They are invaders. They're in violation of state law, federal law. And so these Border Patrol agents that are cowboys are riding on horseback trying to prevent the invasion of their country. They're doing their job. And the images spread all over social media. So essentially there's these two cowboys on horseback, Border Patrol agents, who are trying to rein in these criminal Haitians, these law-breaking vigilantes, these invaders, these border jumpers. People call them migrants. That is such wordplay, quite honestly. These are criminals, is what they are. They say that this is the video of Border Patrol whipping illegals, but that's not even close to what's happening. And so the alleged whip that the Border Patrol was using was actually a bridle or a rein for the horse. They're not going around and like, yacha, yacha. Now, why is it that there's so much outrage about this? There's so much outrage about this for a very specific and psychological reason. But first, I want to read this story from Politico. Border Patrol is now launching an investigation into the Border Patrol agents that are using a bridle or a rein of a horse, not a whip, to go after migrants. Now, mind you, Border Patrol or the congressional oversight, they're not launching an investigation into the fact that 1.8 million people have come into our country this last year. No investigation into that. No investigation into the drugs flowing into our country. Do you know what needs to be investigated according to DHS? They say we need to define the appropriate disciplinary action to be taken. Psaki says, I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think it's acceptable or appropriate. Well, I think it's really acceptable. You have a guy with a bridle and a rein, and meanwhile his country's being investigated. It's being invaded, and he's trying to prevent that from happening. This is an act of international invasion. Instead of actually investigating the fact that, I don't know, why is it that there's 1.8 million people illegally coming into the country? Instead of launching an investigation into Mark Milley for, in a treasonous way, calling the Chinese, instead of launching an investigation into Peter Daszak or the origins of the Fauci virus, no. Our energy and our resources, everybody, we're now going to launch an investigation into whether or not some cowboys were trying to rein in criminal vigilantes trying to destroy your country. Play cut 34.
I've seen some of the footage. I don't have the full context. I can't imagine what context would make that appropriate, but I don't have additional details. And certainly, I don't have additional context. April, I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think it was acceptable or appropriate.
It's perfectly acceptable. These people are criminals coming into our country. Maybe I'm failing to understand why we need to have this deep-seated sympathy. Do we have this deep-seated sympathy for people that go around and rob banks? They're breaking into our country. Crime does not elicit sympathy. And this guy was not abusing them. You look at the video. He's using a bridle that's on the horse already. Now, here's the thing. This is such... here's why they hate this more than anything else. You want to know why they hate this? The left has always hated cowboys. Always. This is why they're losing their mind. Investigations, subpoenas. There's a lot of reasons for this. Too much testosterone is the first reason. Too much muscle mass. And being a cowboy is the spirit of independence. And it has something to do with human psychology and the stories that we tell ourselves. But don't worry, everybody. The regime is not investigating the fact that we are being invaded. They're not investigating the fact that Mark Milley is leaking information to our greatest enemy, the Chinese Communist Party. They're not looking into or investigating the fact that we gave $85 billion to the Taliban. You know what they're investigating today? The Department of Homeland Security says we are investigating the extremely troubling, horrific footage that someone would dare go on horseback and solve its own problems when they're being invaded. Not with a whip, with a bridle.
Coming up.
The task of a teacher is to teach, not make their kids comfortable.
Dennis Prager on a shocking story of Oregon when the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt returns in a moment.
As we consider a post-COVID world, the call goes forth to a new generation of leaders in politics and policy. I'm Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine's Graduate School of Public Policy. And for over two decades, we've prepared students to apply America's founding principles to today's policy debates. Are you considering graduate school? Find out more at pepperdine.edu/SPP. That's pepperdine.edu/SPP.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. The classrooms have become a political hotspot for years now, with the left seeking to indoctrinate students on all things woke. One of the more troubling aspects is the effort to treat American patriotism as a negative. Here's my friend and colleague Dennis Prager reading from a recent story.
A Portland area teacher who opposes the district's vote to ban Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ pride symbols in schools told local media that she removed the American flag from her classroom because it represents violence and menace and intolerance. Gail Groby, an English teacher at Newburgh High School and former president of the Newburgh Education Association, said her union is mobilizing against the newly approved resolution by Newburgh Public Schools that bans overtly political imagery on campus, including the Black Lives Matter and pride symbols. Groby appeared to question why the American flag also isn't banned, claiming it is the most political symbol there is. I'll say this personally, I've spent 23 years in this district and you can't tell me what to do. I know my kids and I know what's best for them and what to do to help them feel comfortable. The task of a teacher is to teach, not make their kids comfortable. I know what's best for them and what to do to help them feel comfortable. Took the American flag down in my classroom because that's the most political symbol there is. When I see board member Trevor DeHart sitting there at those board meetings with that giant American flag behind him, it's terrifying. Do you know what flag the Hong Kong freedom fighters squashed by the thugs of the Chinese communist government waved? Do you know what flag? The American flag. This was last year. And we have American teachers saying that flag is terrifying, when for people who love liberty around the world, that is the flag that they wave. This is the scum teaching your children. This is a life and death battle on this planet. If the American flag is taken down, which is what the left wishes to do, the increase in evil on earth will shock you. We will enter a dark age as the real scum, like the Chinese communist government, expand. People talk about the evil of North Korea. North Korea would fall in a day if China dropped its support of it. North Korea was founded by the Chinese communists. There would be no North Korea were it not for Mao. Mao, one of the most vicious, despicable human beings to have ever walked this earth, made that purely evil place possible. I know my kids. I want to make them comfortable. I took it down. Yeah, it's terrifying. That symbol doesn't stand for freedom or justice or equality anymore. What does she mean anymore? It did? She believes it once did? It stands for violence and menace and intolerance, and I will not fly that in my room. So fire her. By the way, wouldn't it be interesting to ask, what flag does stand for tolerance and peace? What would she say? I'm sure she'd pick one. Say the Norwegian flag? A school district spokesman told Fox News that the district was aware of the teacher's remarks but could not comment on personnel matters. Let's get a kick out of that. They can't comment on personnel matters. It's because they're cowards. Ready for the next teacher story? California teachers hang F the police, F America, KKK, Amare, KKKA. Posters in classroom. Los Angeles parent is sounding the alarm over posters displayed inside a high school classroom that say F America and claim that law enforcement's primary purpose is to militarily enforce white supremacist capitalism. This is at Alexander Hamilton High School in L.A. The first photo shows, you'll find this fascinating, a transgender flag a Black Lives Matter flag and a Pride flag prominently displayed on the blackboard. But there's one other flag I didn't read to you. What do you think that flag is? Palestinian flag. The Palestinian cause. Let us destroy the one Jewish state in the world the size of New Jersey. That's another great cause of the left. And let's see. And F the police. Policing is a violent anti-black settler institution. What does settler institution mean? That originated as slave patrols, the poster reads. Their primary mandate is to protect property and to militarily enforce white supremacist capitalism. They hate capitalism. Every despicable, evil, totalitarian movement hates capitalism. Means freedom. The Los Angeles Unified School District issued a statement to Fox News saying the posters were being taken down. LA Unified is aware of the specific classroom decorations. Decorations? The statement read in part, the specific posters will be taken down. We maintain and uphold student and staff confidentiality and therefore cannot comment on any of our students or employees. LA Unified, that is school district, holds firm its policy that students and adults in both schools and offices should treat all persons equally and respectfully. What does this have to do with anything? And refrain from the willful or negligent use of slurs against any person on the basis of race, language, spoken, color, sex, religion, handicap, national origin, immigration status, age, sexual orientation, or political belief. Wow. That's not true, though. They say race, that's the first one. You could speak against whites all you like in the Allied Unified School. It's a lie. Truth is not a left-wing value, as I tell you every day. So here were two examples of what teachers are doing in your schools. Teaching kids that the American flag represents evil.
Coming up, the vaccine hesitant grow even more so.
This could be a military readiness crisis very quickly.
The final segment of the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt when we return. If you enjoy the Town Hall Review and you are a person of faith, let me introduce you to another podcast I think you'll like. It's the Christian Outlook, and in it you'll hear the leading voices in the Christian world engaging the issue of the day. This week, parents frustrated over public schooling in the face of the pandemic are pushing back.
Homeschooling is exploding all across America.
A challenge for a third education revolution.
It is time for the church to take education back.
Plus, they'll look to apply wisdom from the book of Proverbs.
You can have all the wisdom at your fingertips. You can have all the information, godly information that you desire at your fingertips. But unless you put it into action, it is nothing.
We've got all this and more. To subscribe, go to ChristianOutlook.com. That's ChristianOutlook.com. Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. Vaccine mandates remain controversial in some place, although hospitals and other employers have the absolute right to require them. Some nurses and other workers who've already had COVID and thus have the antibodies say they don't need the vaccine. Some in that category are at risk of losing their jobs for rejecting it. Salem host Seb Gorka had a recent conversation with John Solomon of Just the News.
What is the story that you just sent me just literally seconds before you came on air?
It literally just broke. So we have talked to two lawyers and a minister representing several hundred Navy SEALs, the most elite special operators our military trains. In fact, it costs $500,000 just to train a single SEAL. So these are people we put a lot of investment and trust in, and they deliver with extraordinary courage in all the operations we know about. They're being told that if they don't get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, they will no longer be able to deploy with their SEAL teams. Essentially, they will be sidelined and their SEAL careers will be over. This is very important because some of these SEALs have already had COVID, so they believe they have natural immunity, don't need the vaccine, and others of them have a religious objection to it. They do not believe that there's enough data on the safety to inject it into their body yet, and they're asking for more time. They're not anti-vaccine because they take lots of vaccines as part of their deployments. They're just concerned about the safety data on this particular vaccine. And the Pentagon's response, according to two lawyers and one of their ministers, is that if you don't get it, you're not going overseas again.
Well, in that case, our capacity to deal with terror threats will be drastically diminished. We don't have an unlimited supply of SEALs, John. So this is a very serious impact upon our capacity to keep Americans safe.
What we're hearing. Remember, there are only 2,500 SEALs total, according to the public documents we know. These guys get deployed multiple times. Remember Team 6, the brave team that captured and killed Osama bin Laden? That's the type of people we're talking about. The frontline warriors, the very best we have. Anywhere from 300 to 600 is the estimate of SEALs, I'm told, aren't willing to get the vaccine yet or are objecting to the vaccine, either on religious grounds or safety grounds or other reasons. You're talking about maybe as many as a quarter of our SEALs. And one of the lawyers said, listen, these aren't the management of the SEALs. These are the frontline shooters, the top people we have that are raising these concerns. This could be a military readiness crisis very quickly.
What you have at any one time is split into three parts. One third of the actual troopers have to be deployed on missions. One third is resting and recuperating, while the other third are preparing to deploy. So when you take it down to 700 in one rotation, and maybe half of those, for various reasons, won't be able to deploy, you've actually halved the number of people who can be deployed.
Thank you for joining us for the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. Catch up on earlier episodes at our website, townhallreview.com, and sign up for a daily dose of the best in talk radio. Special thanks to executive producer Russell Shubin, producer Charlie Richards, David Bouchon, Ben Brigman, Michael Cook, Adam Ramsey, Alex Perez, and, of course, Dwayne Patterson. Let me say thanks once again to our sponsor, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.